Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the...
We're back. It's hour three, a couple minutes in, and with me is Larry Ravelli, and he's done it again. what's better than you and Amos winning these two-year-old stakes yesterday?
Yeah, right. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, no, it was a good day, and I've always liked the horse, two pitbulls, and he's just progressing, getting better and better as he gets older. He had kind of a crappy trip last time, and almost a nightmare, almost identical trip yesterday, except he got shoved down into a spot where it was perfect, you know what I mean? The three speed horses set up in front of him, and he just finally dropped a bit and relaxed. And kudos to Jared. He got him to relax, which was good, and then kind of did what I thought he might do. I thought he was going to run a better race. And Jarris told me after he rode him last time, he said, Larry, I'm telling you, you might be disappointed that the horse ran, you know, 7th by 10, but I like the horse better now than I did before the race. So So that gave me the confidence to run them, you know, back in a similar spot for less money and kind of ducking the heavy heads and all the other guys I figured would be shooting for the Breeders' Cup. And we'd have a little bit of easier competition. And if he ran the same race, the outcome would be what it was yesterday. So a plan that worked for a change.
Right. Always nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Came back and actually paired up from a fig standpoint, 75 buyer, but frankly, not, you know, on that wet track, and figure the wet track in too, because what knowledge or going in did you have about the kind of surface it was going to be?
Absolutely none. You're right. Yeah, I had no idea. The mother ran on it a little bit. Actually, from what I was told, and that's about all I knew. The horse trains in Chicago on a dirt surface every day and seems to handle it, you know, but I tend to, if the track's wet or sloppy, obviously we don't look to breeze on an off track. So you don't ever know in those situations until you actually run on it. So it was nice to know that he's got that in his bag in case he's, you know, somewhere else and you don't have to worry about scratching if it rains or in a similar race or situation like that.
He's a hard spun. He's out of General Quarters Mare and bred by Phil Sagan, and who is stayed involved. How did that all come about?
It's a long, funny story, but real quick, Phil Sagan is friends with Jerry LaSalle. He used to be a jockey in Chicago who I used to ride periodically, and I'm friends with. They had Mia Torrey years ago. And Jerry is friends with Phil, and Phil's a young guy, an avid card poker player, plays in all these tournaments, really, really kind of a well-known guy in that circuit. Nonetheless, he got together with Steve Leving, who's the agent of Jared Loveberry, who's one of my good friends, Steve Leving. LaSalle calls Steve, who should we breed Mia Torrey to? Because Steve used to be Frank Calabrese's racing manager forever, right?
Hmm.
Steve bred Dreaming of Anna. He put that together, won the Breeders' Cup. So he asked him. They had a powwow. They went to dinner. It was LaSalle, Phil Sagan, and Steve Leving. And Steve picks Hardspun, breeds the Hardspun. So he looks like a genius. And now he's got the jock's book. They end up giving me the horse. They say, give it to Ravelli. He'll make it win regardless. They put the horse in the sale. Worked on the poly track, didn't work very good. Send it to Larry. If you like it, Larry, buy it. If you don't, we'll keep it, whatever you want to do. Okay, I get the horse. I said, you know what? This horse can run. He's better on the dirt than he is on the poly. And so we put the deal together. We let Vinny buy in for 80% of the horse. Phil wanted to stay in for a piece, so we let him stay in for a piece. And it's like the whole big, happy friendship family thing that, it, like you said, it worked out. Everybody was happy on all ends. The buyer, the seller, and the breeder still in. The old jockey, the jockey now, and the jockey agent that's friends with the trainer. Like, when did that shit ever happen? That never happened.
No.
somebody's usually pissed off in one of those deals. I just don't know which one of them it is. But everybody's happy.
Oh, that's hysterical. That is. That's they say. Nothing gets in the way of friendships like a good horse. In this case,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is the complete opposite, which is amazing.
Oh, that's terrific. And then, you know, him himself. You talk about he's obviously at this point he's pretty well raced. That's his fifth career start. He's got three wins, and you know, I liked him yesterday as the price candidate. As it happens, the obvious horses did not run. Jace's Road,
right.
and that Red Root one, they were nowhere to be found. And you got back on the beam. So he was dirtied up, and people that believed got 1724 back. And actually,
I know.
Look at the place price too, 918.
I know. No, everybody. I mean, we bet a little bit. Everybody bet a little bit. Everybody could have been a happier moment for like nine people. You know what I mean? It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we should mention before I get to you telling me about his growth and how we will look toward the end of the meet, the next opportunity. But Jareth Loveberry for a second. That was his first stake win at Churchill, and you could tell he was just tickled by it.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a good guy. He's a good friend of ours. Like I said, Steve's had his book for a couple years. He's been leading trainer at Arlington with us. Earlier, I think it was the last 3 years that they were around. And just a hard worker, good rider, good guy, all-around guy. It's happy for him and his family, and hopefully we got many more to come. He rode for me 15, 18 years ago when Mountaineer got all those big purses, and I shipped the string down there when I was, you know, in the middle of my... Yeah, he rode everything for me down there. And I said, you know, at that point, he wasn't as polished as he is now, but he was much better than those guys. I'm like the worst guy on the planet to ride for. I mean, I can tell you the bad day stinks on some days, you know what I mean? I'm just a bad guy to ride for, but when it comes to, you know, racing, and I get over it real fast, but I knew he was good. I knew he was a good rider, and I knew he didn't belong, you know, where he was at, but he was just starting. He rode everything for me, and we won a bunch of races there. So when the opportunity came to get him to, when Valdivia left and went back to California, he was my choice to put him together with Steve, and here we are.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, I wanted to see. I remembered that he had won what I thought was his first graded stake earlier in the year. In the Connolly with another mystery, but actually he did win the Arlington on Busy Channel, so it's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
That is neat that he got his first graded stake win at Arlington, so that'll be something to stay with him. But now he's won three graded stakes in basically, you know, a year and change, and he's a guy that, you know, he certainly has won his share of races. How old is he?
Right. I think he's just 30, right? 32 or 30, something like that. Yeah, he's a young guy, 34 maybe. Yep, he's got two little kids, wife Stacy, good family, nice people.
Well, he's
hard worker.
He's got 1,700 wins already.
Yeah, he won a shit ton of races at Mountaineer and Thistle and Ohio. I mean, this kid drives in the morning and rides at Thistle, and he'll work horses for everybody. Then he'll go and ride at Thistle, then he'll drive to Mountaineer. You know, this was, you know, years and years ago. He's always the first one at the track, no matter what. Dark days, need any help. I mean, this is the kind of kid he is.
That's great. Wow.
And it's hard. And the hard work is paid off because he's in a spot now where he's riding good horses and for people that win. You know what I mean? And whenever you win, the other guys want you. You know, Tom Amos ships the horse to Hawthorne. He wants Loveberry. You know what I mean? If I'm not in the race, where he's going to get him. You know what I mean? Brad Cox ships a third string maiden into Arlington. He wants Loveberry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just where, you know, that's how it works, which gives him opportunities to ride better horses.
Well, it's exciting then for everybody involved. And I got a little side note for you in a second, but the Kentucky Jockey Club, November 26th, the target?
Probably too soon. Too soon. No,
too soon?
No,
interesting.
So. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that by virtue of him physically? Is he a horse?
No. I ran him back in three. This was like 3.5 weeks from the last race, which I was a little bit, you know, on the fence about, and not really for anything. I mean, he's a hardy horse. He does well. He's a good doer, and he trains great, and he's really, really been sound for us, which is you know, doesn't need LASIK, doesn't need it. I mean, he's pretty straightforward horse. I just were torn between where to run him next, or, you know, give him a little break, and is he good enough to be on the Derby trail, or what? You know, what do you do? I'm not running to, you know, see my name in lights. I'm not going to run a 25 horse race and be 50-1. That's not going to be me, regardless of, you know, how many of these races he wins. If I don't think he belongs in there, I'm going to run him in, you know, the Springboard Mile or the Prairie Meadows Derby or something, just to make sure we can be competitive. But if he keeps going the way he's going right now, and I just, like you said, I like the way he galloped out in the race. Was a little bit of a shock for me. I mean, he was 25 lengths in front of everybody, you know, at the 7/8 mile pole, just galloping out. So who knows, maybe if it rains on Derby Day, we'll get lucky.
Well, I was going to say, you know, when it comes to running 50-to-1 shots, Eric, you should talk to Eric Reed a little bit.
Maybe, you're right.
Maybe he'll inspire you. The well, in the meantime, you know, winning a race on that racetrack, two races on now on this track. He's won. I didn't realize that until I just noticed. He's actually won on three different venues now.
Yep. Canterbury, Colonial, and Churchill.
How about that? How about that?
I guess we better keep the tracks. Is there any other racetracks with C's in the first name?
I was going to say, you could have gone to Calder. Calder. What's that one in? What is it? Centennial in Century Mile up in Alberta. they just had a bunch of stakes this weekend. I don't know if you realize this with this win. You've now had the best year of your career in earnings.
Yeah, you know, someone told me, one of my buddies, this morning I was talking to him, and he said, I think, Riv, you're going to have your best year ever as far as earnings. And I said, I think so. Yeah, I didn't really think about it, but yeah, that's pretty cool. That's good. Makes you feel like you're doing your job good.
And
getting rewarded for it.
Well, exactly. You haven't, let me see out of curiosity, actually, you really have not changed the size of the barn either. I mean, it's obviously quality of horses and spots,
yep.
And also purses. Let's face it, purses are up around the country, but you're starting your usual 350 runners a year.
We've got together, most of my owners are from Chicago, and since Arlington's not around and Hawthorne hasn't really got it together yet with their casino and stuff, we kind of tapered our barn to more horses like this. I've gotten rid of most of all my cheaper horses, flaming type horses. Now you make them, you know what I mean? They end up, some of them end up being that way with the ones you buy or the ones you breed, you know. It's just inevitable that some of them become claiming horses, and not every one of them are stake horses or allowance horses. And then you go through the conditions, and then you move them on. But the goal or the motto now for the stable is less and better horses if we can, which is obviously, as you know, easier said than done. But
no,
that's the goal, anyways. So it'll be less never win twos for 10 and 15 and 20 and hopefully more, you know, allowance type stake races and stuff like yesterday.
Well, and we should also include not just yesterday, but you and Jareth successful at Mahoning Valley too on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that back to Ohio filly, she's nice. That's a pretty cool story. We paid a lot of money for her, and a lot of people thought I was nuts. And now it looks like I knew what I was doing. Faith, you know, she's undefeated, and she's just got Ohio breads over a barrel. She won an open stake too at Presque Isle, and then she won it pretty easy against those Ohio breads. I'm going to turn her out. The next Ohio bred race is like first week of March, so I'm just going to send her to Ocala and to Dr. Gene White's farm and turn her out and bring her back, get her ready for that race. Hopefully, I think they got 400, 500, 150s all year, so just aim for those.
Well, let's pause for a second. This is a midshipman filly out of something. She's a runaway star, a daughter of Pride of Birkin. I mean, this is a crazy story because she wins off by 7, as easy as she pleased. Did you see the figure?
Yeah, it was horrible.
No. Figure was good.
Oh, I thought it was bad.
No, hold on. Let me confirm.
Talking about her first race or her last race?
No, the race Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I would imagine, she was like, Jareth never turned his stick over, I don't think. I didn't look at the figure yet.
All right, she got a 53.
Mm-hmm.
But it 53 for her. The numbers were a little cockeyed. I thought she got a much higher figure than this, but it looks like they.
No, I guess she got a terrible number. I thought.
Yeah. No. She. Okay. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But the way she did this, we'll keep an eye. And of course, I should mention, even though Amadevil, there was no stake for Amadevil. David Wolichuk put her in a. There was a an allowance that. Somehow, they managed to find the spot for
right.
her. She's. It looks like you maybe have the new Amadevil.
Yeah.
Well, wanted to get. I absolutely had to get to you for this win yesterday. Two fills, and you know, perfect example of you know picking out a horse that had a trip and betting back and. You know, making the most of that. I will ask you, Breeders' Cup wise,
Nothing this year.
No.
The first year in the last 5 years, we had something going every year. One timer, cocked and loaded, the tabulator, well able, big yep. drink of water. We had them all. Not this year.
Well,
it was gonna be that filly, that Ohio bred filly. I wanted to run her 5/8 on the turf, and I think she probably would have got in against the fillies, but I just didn't know it at this point if she was enough force. And like I said, I'm not going to run just to run. I figured I'd be 2-5 for 100 and just be happy with that.
No, no doubt. But I do want to ask you if you got an opinion or two yet, a horse that you know you're going to bet Friday or Saturday.
Wesley Ward,
just
Golden Pal. That's it.
You think so? Well, because you don't think he's vulnerable coming back.
No, 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 no. That's the fastest horse I've seen. I'm good friends with Wesley, and that's he gets out of the gate.
That's been the concern is a clean break.
Yeah. And knowing him, he's worked on it even more. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You know that's his deal. They come out of there. They beat the gate most of the time.
All right, I.
That's my bet, and I'm probably you know he'll be 4-5, so I'm no good for you there.
That's all right. Wow, Larry, always a pleasure. Congratulations on a career best year and continued success.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it, bud. Anytime. Take care.
You got it, Larry Ravelli, everybody, and one of the really fun, and you feel good after you talk to Ravelli. He's just he's always upbeat. Let's get to Phil D'Amato, Mike Welch, who I thought was across the other side of the track. He is not. He's still right next door to me, so I'll be able to get him. He'll sit live with us, which is good. That's one of the nice things about being live at anywhere. So we'll talk to Mike in just a little bit. Phil D'Amato. Phil D'Amato is standing by, and he's on his way to Kentucky as well. And I guess, you know, you don't have to be here to win in Kentucky, though, because Balnikoff winning the Bryan Station on Saturday. And I guess it was good, Phil, that you stayed home because you sent out three stake winners of the Goldakova, the Autumn Miss, and the Ken Matty. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was a fun day for sure.
Start here, and you know, when it's funny, when I sat down with the PPs, On Saturday, excuse me, and I saw that you'd shipped here. I mean, this was a horse we talked about a lot in the late summer and into the fall. And I thought, you know what, this is a horse that's going to come in here and push these horses around.
Yeah, you know, he's a horse. He was always knocking on the door, run some good races for me. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Sol Kumin and John Panicott because they both kind of wanted to keep him at a mile as opposed to a mile and an eighth. And you know, after we ran him in the Del Mar Derby, this was the spot they had in mind. So we've been pointing to it, you know, ever since. And he got pace to run at and a great ride by Tyler Gaffleone, and we got the job done.
When you talk about the pace, I mean, it's such an iffy proposition. And this was a 12-horse field, so in a perfect world, Phil, yeah, some horses mix it up. But so often we watch these turf races, and you look on paper, it looks like there's some speed, and then everybody sort of grabs a hold, and nobody goes. And it'll make you crazy when you have a horse that, you know, needs at least, you know, some separation and some room to operate. Gaff Leone has been riding just terrific, and this was really a thing of beauty. I mean, coming from, he was either last or next to last, the first half of the race.
Oh, no doubt. It really was. I mean, he saved all the ground, and when he wanted to go, I think his first choice was trying to go outside, but he kind of had nowhere to go there, so he just kept the horse's momentum going, kept him on the inside, but always trying to, with a tinge, to angle him out. And once he kind of got daylight, on the outside and could get him in full flight, and, the rest was just getting up, and Tyler never stopped on him, and the horse galloped out really nice. So, just a great performance and a great ride.
Yeah, you mentioned the mile, and you bring up a very germane point. You look now at the six races he's run in North America. He won the Oceanside, which we talked about at the beginning of the Del Mar meet, opening day. And if you go back to the Singletary, he got beat an absolute dirty nose after a rotten start. He probably wins that race with a little better positioning. He could be 3 for 3 in a mile in North America.
Yeah, he was a little unlucky there, and it was just a lot was trying to figure out what he was best at. I think he's going to be a really nice miler for the team next year. I think when he turns 4, it's a little more mature and stronger, and we know, what he likes to do. They've got some nice mile preps here, and maybe we can turn him into a Breeders' Cup horse next year.
Well, and certainly the program out there with the Shoemaker and the City of Hope and all the miles along the way, you're the leading, let's be honest, you're the leading turf trainer on the West Coast, so it figures that you've got yourself a very nice miler going forward. Balnikoff, he's a gelding, so this thing is going to be around for as long as he stays right.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's just a very honest horse, good training horse, and we've got, like you said, all those nice preps in our backyard here next year, and
that's
hopefully
right,
we can develop them right into Breeders' Cup time.
Look at that. Perfect. Well, let's get a survey. I really haven't had a chance to talk much about the West Coast action other than to highlight the wins. And listen, going global, she was going to be a short price, ended up 30 cents on the dollar, but they still have to go out and make it happen.
Yeah, she's just the epitome of, consistency, at a high level. And that was nothing for her the other day. She just, Humberto pressed the button, and, she went from 2 behind to 2 in front. And he just kind of coasted home. Nice filly. We sent her on her way. She's in Kentucky and due to be sold the day after the Breeders' Cup in the Fasig Tipton Night of the Stars sale.
Well, she's really been a delight, right? I mean, just a 4-year-old, so there's potential for her to stay around and stay in training, and they can do whatever they really would like. It's interesting. I hadn't noticed this until now. She is suddenly on a very distinct win-lose pattern.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at that much. I do think she should have won the race before that. She just, I think Humberto might even be the first to tell you that wasn't one of his better rides, but he made up for it last time. But yeah, she's definitely, to me, she's got plenty of gas left in the tank to campaign her another year if someone would like to do so. But she's been so good to myself and my barn and the owners. You know, it was just nice to see her out a winner, you know, going into the sale.
Outstanding, going global, just counting up the stakes wins. Yellow Ribbon, the Royal Heroine, last year's Goldakova. She's a Grade One winner in Del Mar Oaks, and the Honeymoon and the Providencia, the Sweet Life. My God, what a tremendous career! And she's four. You know what's notable too. That was her 17th start and 10th win, and you have given her time off. It's not like she, you know, has just run. She's fit in some freshenings along the way.
Yeah, no, you know, the owners have been great like that with all our good horses. I mean, really, all of our horses, period. At some point in time during the year, we like to give them a freshening. We gave her a 45-day freshening, you know, at the end of last year. And, you know, it just pays off. She had a nice campaign this year. And I think we're sending her in there with a full tank of gas ready to go if someone wanted to keep it rolling.
Well, not all the winners were short prices. We already talked about Balnikov, and we got a nice number on him. Let's talk about Rhea Moon and Juan Hernandez bringing this Star Spangled Banner filly home in the Autumn Miss at 6-1, paid $14.60, and looked good doing it.
Yeah, she's a filly on the improve. I really like this filly. She's got nice size and scope to her, great temperament. And, you know, I think we just found what she wanted to do two back at Del Mar. She just wants to get covered up and come with a big run. I think we had her a little too close to the pace earlier on in her career with me, but just getting her feet under her and, you know, then turning her loose when need be, that's her style, and I thought she won with ease the other day.
Well, and Rhea Moon, this was her graded stake debut. This was her actually a stake debut of any kind.
Yeah, we had intentions of running her in stakes earlier, but it took us a little while to break her maiden. And but once we did and figured her out, you know, she's really come on strong. I'm looking to, you know, make her into or hopefully turn her into a nice graded stake horse that later on this year we're going to have another chance in the American Oaks and then hopefully a nice four-year-old campaign.
Well, and I'm just wanted to check. I don't know if did they finally... The for whatever reason the West Coast figs were a little slow. Yeah, they are up. Amy C got a 90. If you hadn't gotten that number, and Going Global a 94, Cabo Spirit an 88. Where's this? This was what, 100,000, right? There we go. Huh. Well. I'd love to tell you what the fig was here, Phil, but I there it is, 87. So she got another. That's another little notch. She had 370s earlier in the as a 2-year-old, and then broke through to an 85 in the Del 80 in the Del Mar Oaks, an 82 in the Unzip Me. So she keeps moving steadily up the scale. I mentioned Amy C. Wins down the hill, and Bertha Rispoli, and you beat that 4-5 shot in Connie Swingle of Nick Alexander. So you ran 1-2, and Amy C., a charming thought. This is, again, Sal Kumin and Michael Dubb and Bob LaPenta.
Yeah, they were kind enough to send me this filly, and they thought, you know, maybe she might be a tweener. Wanted more like a, you know, one turn kind of race like the hill, and it just so happened that they were exactly right. This filly, I think she's 2-for-2 down the hill. She's found a home. She had a nice performance. Connie Swingle to beat her. She's a really nice filly. I think Connie will be a nice filly at four. But Amy C., you know, she's proven she found her home, and she's going to have some nice graded stakes opportunities next year at Santa Anita down the hill.
Amy C., Umberto Rispoli, and 940 for those that that got involved that way. And this one, you mentioned the, you know, the previous try down the hill. That came back in June, won an allowance, and did it very much the same way. So, yeah, when you discover one that likes it down the hill, there's no reason to look elsewhere.
Yeah, no, and that filly had tried her at Del Mar at a mile, and I think it was just that last eighth was just a little too much for her. But at six and a half, six, right around there, she's got a nice late kick, and I think she'll win a lot of races for us in the future.
Well, winning a lot of races here during this autumn meet, and that included yesterday. Phenom breaks the maiden.
She's a filly. She's always been knocking on the door, and she ran a really good race for me off the layoff last time, and this was second off the bench. You know, I think she was, I think, a little bit tighter filly and won and gotten to know her second time out, too. And, you know, he just put her on the lead and never looked back. And I think it was a nice breakthrough performance for her. And we'll go into allowance company next time.
Very nice. Well, Phil, let's take the opportunity before we wrap to get a read on the three that you entered today, Comanche Country and Going to Vegas and Gold Phoenix, three Breeders' Cup runners on Friday and Saturday.
I'm not there yet. They were there. They trained today at Keeneland. All went well, and you know, I'm excited to run them because I think they're all doing their best, and they're going to need to do their best to compete against those horses. So, Comanche's on Friday, and going to Vegas, and Gold Phoenix are on Saturday. And you know, anytime you get to run against the Europeans and the East Coast horses, you're running against the best of the best. So hopefully we'll get nice firm conditions on the grass and give it our best.
Well, and Comanche Country, who we talked about after the Surfer Girl, she's 3-for-3 in North America. And, what else is there to say? She's been perfect. You know, typically, it seems that the North American fillies, for whatever the historic reason has been, the fillies in North America have beaten back the challenge of the invaders. I'm assuming Umberto is riding her again?
Yes, he'll be aboard. He's been aboard on all three of our wins over here. You know, she's a nice, versatile filly. I think just depending on the pace, I mean, she could stalk. She can come from way out of it. So he'll have some options there. And, you know, just kind of judge the pace and go from there.
How about going to Vegas for Medallion and Abundanza? And, you know, you've had pretty much, the summer and into the fall to get to know her, coming off the Rodeo Drive win, which was wire to wire. And, you know, we certainly have watched enough Breeders' Cup races over the years. Not a bad place to be, making them all chase you.
Yeah, that filly, she couldn't be doing any better. I just kind of finally figured her out there at Del Mar, and she's coming in fresh and happy. I know she ran last year and showed some speed and didn't finish as well as they'd like, but I think this year, I think she's coming in really good form and fashion, and she's another one. Umberto's going to ride her. She's tactical. I think she could sit, you know, 1, 2, 3, and I think he'll just let the pace tell him where's best for him to sit with her and go from there.
Well, that gets us to the last runner you'll send out on the weekend. And this is, Phil, this is kind of a murky, I don't want to call it a subpar, that's a bad way to term it, but this is not the most august group of turfers that we've ever seen in a Breeders' Cup. And is Gold Phoenix something of a dark horse in here?
I think so. I think that he's got an unbelievable late kick. He's in his last two races, he's closed in 22-1, I believe. And it's going to take that kind of final kick to win a race like that. And he's paired up with Flavien Prat, who won on him at Del Mar, which is great. And in my eyes, he's a big, good-looking European horse. He kind of looks like one of those Godolphin horses coming over, more so than the tinier Euros I get. He's big, imposing, and I think he can handle, any kind of ground. So I just think he needs a trip. But he's, in my eyes, he's definitely a dark horse candidate, to throw in there in your selections.
For those that haven't had a chance to look at all the, at all the PPs, it's impossible to get familiar with all 175 horses in short order. This horse has hit the board in every start of his career. He's never missed a board. And that includes, the gotten beat, a neck and a nose in the John Henry. He's beaten two in an allowance, beaten 1 3/4 in the Whittingham. I mean, he's a horse who is finishing, like you say. And, Flavien won the Del Mar handicap on him. He's going to be, let me check what kind of a price he's going to be, Phil. What do you think?
Oh, I'm sure he'll probably be double digits. But, I think he's a horse you need to throw in there. He was just a late developing horse. We bought him and we had to turn him out for quite some time. So experience-wise, he was behind all his company, while I was trying to go up the ladder in the allowance ranks, but he was steadily improving. So I just think he's more of a raw talent kind of horse that fits with those. He definitely has more upside, I think, in the future from race to race to develop and be a better horse than he is right now. But I think right now, if I can get the trip in the Breeders' Cup and Flavien has a chance to use his late kick to run him down, I like my chances.
Wow. He's 15-1. This is on Brad Free's line, pre-draw. And Brad's comment, interesting, is negative on California shippers in this race, but blazing 22.17 final corner last out warrants notice. The horse that I'm going to go dig up and look at coming in is Better Talk Now. He may have a little bit of a Better Talk Now look to him. We'll take a look at this. I'm glad we had this chance, Phil, and look forward to seeing you here. Congratulations on a spectacular, spectacular weekend. 4 stake wins.
Thanks, Steve, and I'll see you over there.
You got it. Safe travels. Phil D'Amato, everybody. And there you have it. Mike, this is exciting. I think we just got ourselves a price play in the turf.
Oh, I wasn't listening. So
well, you were walking
your
way.
Give me the scoop.
Gold Phoenix.
I don't know anything about the horse. I'll have to take a look.
All right. Get those glasses cleaned up. Mike Welch joins us, everybody. A perfect way to round out the morning with I'm coming hot into your headset.
Yeah, a little bit.
How's that? Is that a little better?
That's better.
There we go. All right. Mike, we talked, did we talk Friday or Thursday or when did we talk?
I think it was last Friday, maybe.
We looked forward to the final weekend of serious preparations, and now it comes down to gallops and watching for energy levels. Why don't you take us back through the weekend? The Asmussen Barn, seemingly the biggest presence other than the galloping of Flight Line.
You're talking about this morning.
Not just this morning. Saturday,
yesterday,
Saturday
well,
and Sunday.
Well,
too.
Mostly Sunday and Monday this week because he was in maintenance mode. You know, we're used to that from him 4 or 5 days out before the big races, in some cases six this week. You know, his horses have done really well from what I've seen since I've been here. They had their major works last week, most of them. Gunite and Wicked Halo obviously didn't work last week because they ran the week before and they just blew out this morning. But he's got to be all smiles. I mean, from what I've seen from just about every one of his horses, they're all doing well. Echo Zulu did not have a blowout yesterday or today. And I went down to see him, and he was gone when I got back to the barn after training entered today. But the rest of them, I mean, Epicenter, Society, Grand Love, yesterday, Jackie's Warrior, Clarier, Gunite and Wicked Halo today, even though they did very, very little just coming off a victory here about 9 days ago. Jackie's Warrior didn't do much either. He just went 3 A's. Usually these are standard half miles from Steve, but Jackie's Warrior just kind of got on the track and went right off and just, he barely got out of an open gallop from what it looked like. He just actually did look like he was galloping down the lane and still went in 37-3. So he's doing well. You know, thumbs up pretty much all around for the Asmussen bunch. The other work this morning, the one real work was Aloha West, and it was in sharp contrast to what Steve did, but understandable considering he hasn't run in a long time. He got started a little bit late. Wayne needed to get at least one more good work into him. He's still not sure if he's quite 100%, but he says, I don't know if I need him at 100%. He's only going to run the last quarter or 3/8 of a mile. And he was really happy with him today. He went 47-1 over a racetrack that started out muddy, was upgraded to good by the time all these horses worked. And then he eased up into the turn. They didn't let him go much further than the half mile, no real gallop out. But that's kind of Wayne's style anyway. So I saw him back at the barn after. He was very pleased with Aloha West. And, you know, he's quietly confident. I mean, maybe not as confident as he was going in last year when he, you know, ran second in the Phoenix and should have won the Phoenix and was obviously, you know, peaking coming into the race. Here is a bit of a question mark because of the layoff. But, you know, then he says fresh horses are dangerous, and you can make a point for that too. So you got to weigh all the different options. Here he is coming in off a four-month layoff, and, you know, Gunite, Wicked Halo, and they're going into their race, respective races, off a nine-day break. So
how about
a two-week break? I'm sorry, 9 days was today for the work.
How about let's back up to Saturday, and I got in mid-afternoon and was able to watch things on tape. And obviously, Flight Line, life is good. The big pairing and plenty of other activity. But
it was quite a morning. I don't remember. I don't believe a Saturday morning, a week out from the Breeders' Cup main event day, where so many horses worked on that Saturday at the host site. I mean, we've seen some busy mornings, 20s, 25, but we had over 40 horses work here on Saturday. Part of that might have been due to the forecast for Sunday, which was actually calling for rain before training hours, and which turned out never happened, and the rain held off until after the training on Sunday. But yeah, it was just a crazy morning out there. And part of the problem here with that is it's still dark at 7:30.
Yeah.
If they wait 10 minutes more, it'd have been fine. I mean, the difference between after the break at 7:30 when you have trouble seeing who's breaking off at what pole and at 9 o'clock when you could kind of get a pretty good idea who's coming and where they're coming from, it makes a big difference as far as the clockers go, whether the track clockers or myself. And, you know, Dave Granning, who was up there helping me today, and Donald Harris is also on site for us.
Nice. You know, in addition, let's round out the entire group of classic workers, and that includes Hot Rod Charlie, who I think is, you know, has been so consistent and is such a hard hitting type. It feels like a horse that could still be in the mix late in the stretch in this classic, and plus, he's got Lava Man working. Lava Man's like, he's like the Angelo Dundee. This is his last roundup.
I think aside from Flight Line, Lava Man has attracted more attention in Twitter than anybody else here for the Breeders' Cup. But, you know, look, everybody was waiting for Flight Line. I was a little surprised that he worked at 7:30, not at his usual training time, which is about 5:35. But he was the second one out on the track, and you know, look, he's everything as advertised. I mean, I'd never seen him breeze in person before. I saw him gallop like a superstar before the Met Mile, but it was you know, it was a pleasure to watch him. He ran the last three eighths in 34 and change, and didn't look like he was going anything near that fast, which is a sign of a, you know, which is an excellent sign. Just strides out, big long strides, just keeps on going on the gallop out, and you know, what more can be said? I mean, he looks like he couldn't be coming in any better, and it's definitely his race to lose. I will be surprised if he gets beat, but you know, that's why they run the races. We've seen these things happen before.
Let's talk about the Philly Admire group and the distaff, because there's plenty of intrigue in here, and
this is a terrific race.
It really is, and you know, one of the problems with having you know a flight line to dominate all the headlines is that a race like the distaff gets sort of you know, not that people aren't looking forward to it, but it doesn't get the analysis and the detail.
That's a good point. Everybody is so focused on flightline. Everybody kind of takes a back seat, except maybe Lava Man. But, I mean, it's just a treat to have watched all these horses breeze here, too. I mean, Malathat, Nest, Clairiere.
Search Results.
Search Results has been terrific, too. And then I like Blue Stripe. I've never seen this horse before. I wasn't really even familiar with her. And she really caught my eye. I mean, on paper, I mean, she's going to have to move forward and run not only the race for her life, but a little beyond that to compete, you know, at least number-wise with some of the favorites in here. But, boy, she was terrific. I really love what I saw from her.
You stressed this with us the other day, too, and got us intrigued. Search Results is going to get a very nice trip behind the speed, correct?
She should. You know, you would expect she'd trip out well, and she's done well. She's had two very nice solo five-ace works here. You know, not anything going to break any watches, but it's just the way she finishes and gallops out. And she's a good workhorse, and she's been all of that here.
I got to ask you, since we're kind of venturing into Chad Brown territory and the phalanx of horses that he's sending out, the horse that of Chad's that's going to be a very square price, and it seems to me has got a huge chance, is Domestic Spending. And I saw that work on tape. It was, he looked tremendous, and he left. Who was his workmate? The
Virginia Joy.
Virginia Joy. Left her in a heap.
He did. He was prodded a little bit to go on where she was not in that respect, but I thought he was really good. And the week before, I thought he was excellent. I think maybe coming in, and I'm not 100% sure on this, there was a little question mark whether he was going to run or not. And after the work the previous week here on the turf, Chad kind of said he's going and then came back with another brilliant work. I liked him a lot. The gallop out, you know, the times are hard to gauge because the dogs are out so far in the track for these turf works. But comparatively speaking, when I compared the final furlong on the gallop out for him and then everybody else, it was another territory his last. And again, he was asked a teeny bit to go out and do it, but I definitely have him on my radar. I had him last, you know, like I said, after the first work, and then after the second one, you know, big move for Domestic Spending.
Regal Glory, you know, this, it's coming toward the end for her. You know, we're talking about Jackie's Warrior leaving it all out on the racetrack this Saturday. Regal Glory, I don't see why she isn't competitive in this mile.
Yeah, she was good in company with Rogier the other day. I think Rogier I had a little bit better, but they also galloped out. They finished strong, they galloped out strong, almost another quarter mile around that turn. So both of them, they're getting good grades from me on the workout report, too. And the Todd Pletcher pair of Major Dude and Annapolis, they've looked good, too, since I've been here, and they were excellent the other day as well.
Annapolis.
And a little, I might add, and I've written at the track, well, the turf course had a little bit of cut to it. They called it good. I would have called it a little bit, you know, less than good. They're working way out almost by the outside fence. So, again, you know, times are a little bit irrelevant. As far as that goes, it's just perception, and I like to see that good energy.
Well, and ideally, you know, the rain that came, and we got a considerable amount of rain yesterday here. I mean, all you had to do was see what was going on in Louisville.
I think they got more in Louisville, though.
They may have, but at least where I'm staying 10 minutes away, and, I mean, it was a steady downpour, which this course could use.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, that's what people are telling me, but from what I saw in the workouts before the rains yesterday and for a couple of days, there was a lot of cut, and maybe that's just it drains to the outside because they were way on the outside, but they were kicking back
some clods,
some pretty good clods. Yeah. I would not have called it good. I would have called it a little less than good, but
interesting.
I'm not a track super, and and I'm not used to seeing this place on a regular basis. So,
Mike, got about 2 minutes, and a couple of things. You mentioned the report. Let everybody know when the report will drop. Will both Friday and Saturday come out at the same time?
No, we're shooting for Wednesday afternoon for Friday's report and Thursday afternoon for Saturday. That's the plan. There's a lot of stuff to put in. We've got reports coming from California and stuff here from myself and Donald, and we've got a lot of horses to enter into the report. We'll start working on that with Ernest once the entries came out. I've already downloaded, you know, some of the earlier ones I saw here that I know the horses are running, but that's the toughest process of this. Clocking them is easy. It takes a long time to enter all these things into the computer, into the system, to punch it out the way it comes out.
Is the report accessible? Can it be bought separately, or does it have to be part of the package?
I think I'm not sure how they're marketing it. I believe now everything is separate. I think you can buy
it.
Maybe, I think they have a package, but I'm going to guess they'll also sell it a la carte. I really don't know. I don't get into the business side. I let them handle that. I don't even know what they're charging for it, to be honest with you.
Well, I got the player's package
that'll be in there.
Yeah. And you go to the access center. I'll find out. I will get that detail for everybody. But having, at the very least, having Saturday by Thursday, for those that are going to 2-day wager, they'll be able to look ahead to Saturday,
right,
and help plot
their
strategy.
Barring any trouble with our system as far as getting the works in and getting them out, we should have everything by Saturday, by Thursday, and Friday by Wednesday, late afternoon.
Mike, is there a horse that you didn't necessarily know much about? Blue Stripe to some degree, but certain. Anybody else that sort of jumped off the track?
I mean, I like what I've seen from Blazing Sevens in the morning. He worked with Jack Christopher 2 weeks ago and very much held his own, and then came back solo the other day, and I like what I saw from him again. Just going over these real quick. I mean, there's just so many of them to digest, and there was such a short time to do it. Kamari has looked good from what I've seen of her, and she's definitely going to be entered in the sprint today. I'm very busy. I thought, you know, look good for Chad. I like what I saw from that horse. And the winner is that the name of Wayne's horse?
Yeah,
not so much the breeze the other day. It was fine. I didn't get to see a lot of it.
The Turf Juvenile.
Yeah, he breezed amongst a huge crowd, and I just caught the last part of it. But just watching him gallop over the track, he just looks like a horse that certainly wants to be on the grass course. So I expect a big effort from him too. Looking back to the previous week's work.
Got to wrap.
Okay, I'll let you go.
We'll see you again. We'll get you before the end of the week. Mike Welch, everybody, there you go. Through the weekend, and there it is. 3 hours in. Thanks to Tom Amos, Phil D'Amato, Larry Ravelli, Mike, of course, Andrew Hawkins, tonight at 11 o'clock. Who do you like in the Melbourne Cup? Mike hasn't done the work yet. And Mig, of course, as well. All right. We'll get the archive and everything up as early as possible. And back with you tomorrow with the fields for Breeders' Cup 2022. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6 to 9, and I will talk to you in the morning from Cable.
the races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry.